I've always known since I was a little girl that I was supposed to be something big, like life-altering big, and I know that sounds kind of cliche, if you will, but I didn't know exactly what that was, and sort of as time unfolded, I sort of got a glimpse into what this was. I'm super good about educating people, and it's something I'm super passionate about. Everyone in my life thought I was going to be a teacher. They just thought, oh, Jacqueline's going to be a teacher. I taught like a kindergarten Sunday school class for like all 4 years of high school. I was a tutor. I did all these things, and I really have a passion for helping people. But then I ended up in the mortgage space. And so in that mortgage space, I teach as well, but a very different, you know, group of individuals. I went to Video Marketing World in, I guess that was 2022. I had the privilege of meeting Trevor, and you may or may not have seen me on his podcast, which is the Who Do You Know show, which this will also probably air on that as well. But he was like, you really should do a podcast. And I was trying to convince myself to get on video in any capacity at that point. And he's like, you should do a podcast. It's super easy. You'll do great. In fact, you should come be on my podcast. We're doing a bunch of recordings at Video Marketing World. And I was like, okay, well, I could start there. At least I would do okay with that, I guess, right? I'll try it. And it was super easy. He was right. Conversation flowed pretty naturally. Anybody who knows me knows I can speak for days. So that was easy peasy. And so fast forward, and I start doing some reels and things like that. And about a year later, I circle back to it. And when I circle back to it, I thought to myself, you know what? I should ask the expert, which is Trevor, because he's obviously been doing this a lot longer than I have. So that makes him an expert in my mind, right? He's been doing it way longer than me. So that makes him the expert. So I said, okay, cool. Let me reach out to Trevor, which is exactly what I did. It was super late one night. I sent him a Facebook message and I said, hey, I don't even know if you remember me, but you interviewed me once upon a time on your podcast, and I'm looking to possibly start my own. And I would love some information from you. I'd love to just pick your brain and see if you can kind of give me some ideas. And he said, yeah, absolutely. And I am a classic overthinker. I spend way too much time, thinking about things and not taking action. And he said, we're just going to start it. Like, let's go next week. And I was like, what do you mean next week? Like, no, I can't do that. What the heck? And so he said, yes, you can. So here we are. And we're going to talk a little bit today about, you know, kind of how you start a podcast. He's going to give us some expert advice on ways that we can kind of do things. I have all kinds of questions. And he said, save that. We're going to talk about that on the podcast. And so that is exactly what we're going to do here today.
Well, I'm excited. This is episode one. Okay. And how cool is it? It's going to be kind of a time capsule. And this is for anybody listening right now. You got a dream. You have something that you're trying to do. And this is the way you do it. Okay. You start before you're ready. Okay, number one, you can't wait and prepare and think you got it all figured out, because guess what? You're never going to have it all figured out, and it's never going to go the way you think it's going to go. And I thought, what a better way to just launch than to just launch? Like, let's go. So what I actually have a question for you, okay? I want to start it off. And my question for you is, number one, what is the overarching goal for the podcast? Like, what is the mission? What do you want to do with this thing? Why did you want to start it, besides me planting a seed in you a couple years ago? Like, what is it that got you so curious about this and wanted you to start a podcast? Is there a business reason behind it? Like, uncover that and unpack that for me first. I think that'd be a great place to start.
So, okay. I've always known since I was a little girl that I was supposed to be something big, like life-altering big. And I know that sounds kind of cliche, if you will. But I didn't know exactly what that was. And sort of as time unfolded, I sort of got a glimpse into what this was. I'm super good about educating people, and it's something I'm super passionate about. Everyone in my life thought I was going to be a teacher. They just thought, oh, Jacqueline's going to be a teacher. I taught like a kindergarten Sunday school class for like all 4 years of high school. I was a tutor. I did all these things, and I really have a passion for helping people. But then I ended up in the mortgage space. And so in that mortgage space, I teach as well, but a very different, you know, group of individuals. And I teach a very complicated kind of a process, right? Like, mortgage is a really big financial transaction. I know, Trevor, you're in the financial space as well. And, you know, it's something that's super important, but let's be real, it's kind of boring. Like, it's not like people think to themselves, man, like I just love mortgage and I so want to understand more about it until they actually need one. And I've been told more than a few times that I'm really good at taking the complicated and simplifying it in a way that doesn't make you feel like a moron, that helps you sort of understand the bigger picture and maybe the big rocks, like what you actually need to know. Because let's be real, if you pick the right professional, you shouldn't need to know all the nitty gritty of mortgage on the back end. Like, that should be my job. I should be taking all that heavy lifting off of you, but you do need to understand some big rocks. And so that was sort of born out of this space. I just have a huge heart for teaching people on the financial education side. And so that is the purpose of the podcast, is sort of to, I do a bunch of reels and things like that, but what I hate about reels is they're like a minute long. Like, I have to try to cram what I can in a minute. It's really, really, really hard to do. And so I just get to a point where I'm like, I want a little more time, and I want to be able to unpack that and also unpack it with other people in the space who can also give their two cents, right? Because not everybody thinks about it the same way. So that's where this was sort of born out of, I guess.
So, okay, well, let's talk about that for a second. So, okay, you want to help educate people in the mortgage space.
Correct.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Now, what's your ideal client or target audience? Who do you want to attract to the podcast?
That's a good question. So I would say the people that I like love to work with the most are the people who actually want to learn, the people who like want to hear what we have to say, that as far as the experts go, right, they want to educate themselves some, but they also are going to take that leap of faith with the expert to trust that the expert knows what they're talking about, right? So they don't need to know everything. They want the maybe conceptual understanding of the box, but they don't need to know every single thing inside of the box.
So would this be somebody who's looking to, you know, get a new mortgage or refi it? Or is this like a client?
I mean, potentially, but also it would be, you know, just people who want to understand a little bit more about our space and financial education. Because I don't want to just talk about mortgage. There's so much more that comes than just the mortgage piece itself. A lot of it is, you know, mindset when it comes to financial picture, right? And like in your space, you know, you deal a lot more with, and correct me if I'm wrong, but more with the like investing side of things and stuff like that. And all that stuff truly walks hand in hand, but a lot of people don't look at it like that. They look at it as like this thing individually and this thing, but it's truly more of a holistic approach. And that's sort of how I approach mortgage and sort of how I want to approach the podcast is just
so a couple things I want you to be thinking about as we create this podcast for you. So I'll tell you my story and background real quick, and then we can kind of pivot from there. So when I started my podcast, the reason for it was because I was helping a community and serving a community of job seekers. I started getting recognized for it in the community, and I was actually invited onto a podcast similar to you, right? You were invited onto my podcast, right? So I was invited onto a podcast. I had already kind of had the bug for it, right? I had been watching other podcasts and just always had the bug for it. Got invited on because of the work I was doing, helping this community of job seekers. And, so I decided, you know what, that's the community I'm serving. And the reason for it is because of the financial impact that they go through. There's a lot of things that they're navigating, you know, old 401ks, pensions, their retirement plans at their old employer, they lose their insurance when they lose a job, their income is gone, right? So there's a lot of things going on financially. It's actually a financial transition for them. So anyways, long story short, I thought, you know what? Okay, if that's the audience I want to attract, right? Those are the people I want listening to me. Well, how do I attract them? I need to bring them resources. So I need to bring on career coaches and hiring managers and recruiters and anyone that could support that audience. And then every once in a while, I would bring job seekers on even to interview them and get their perspective. So it became a job networking show, right? That's what it was, the Who You Know job networking show. Now it has morphed and it has changed. I mean, we've been doing the show for 6 years and it's really developed into something a lot bigger than that. But that's where it started. And that's kind of where I want your thought processes going. It's like, how do we attract our target audience? What can we do to bring those people on? And so I do think that if you just talk about, like, if I would have just came in there and talked about 401k rollovers and investments and insurance, like, well, and it's not what my target audience is like. That's not the thing that they need, like, right now. What they need is income. They need a job, right? And so how do we attract, right? What's the value add that can bring that target market and that target audience in? And maybe it's just simply entertainment value, right? It could be that. I started bringing on motivational speakers because mindset was important. Super important, right? So I started bringing on like some of the best keynote speakers in the world and stuff like that to uplift them, to inspire them, to get them on their feet. So be thinking about that as you're building this. You know, what are some different elements of the podcast besides just talking about mortgage? Now, definitely have that included. You're almost the mortgage side. You could run your own mortgage ads even inside of your podcast.
Yeah. For me, it's not that the mortgage side is not definitely not as important as the other aspects, I would say. And it's funny, I'll tell you, the clients that I naturally attract the most are the ones where I do drill that down. Like, they want a certain level of education, but I drill down the really important big rocks for them and like list them out simply like, hey, here's your kind of, you know, based on what you've told us, this is what is important to you, and then let them make the call. And that's sort of always like, so PBJ Mortgage, which is of course like what I do for a living, like our core values are educate, empathize, empower. And that is really truly in a weird way, exactly what the podcast is intended to do, right? I want to educate you and empathize the position that you're actually in, because we all have, you know, bumps in the road, things that don't go perfectly according to plan, et cetera. And then empower you to make good decisions. Because I say all the time, and I tell this to all my clients, I don't have to stroke the check. So I don't really care which way you go. You know what I mean? Or if you ultimately decide it's not what you want, right? Because at the end of the day, it's not a good idea for you to make a decision that's not going to be in your best interest. And the truth of the matter is, the only person who can really determine that is not me, but you. Like, you're the only one who can really decide, like, hey, am I okay taking this on? Is this going to put too much financial pressure on myself and my partner, my marriage, you know, whatever it is. Like, I can't make that call for you. I can only give you good information and let you make the call.
So let's go back to what you said a second ago, which was educate, empathize,
empower.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I love that, because I have some verticals that I stay in as well. So motivation, education, inspiration, collaboration. Okay, so the networking side is still there. Motivation is there. Inspiration, motivation, education, inspiration. Yeah. So those are kind of the verticals that I stick within, the lanes that I stick in. And then it went from simply career. We actually became a top career podcast, which was cool. All right. Because, you know, over the years, we just did that. Career is still one of the lanes that we stick in. But then it went from career, business, relationships, and life. It's really a transformation podcast. How do you transform your life in your business, career, relationships? Like, how do you... elevate yourself? How do you reach different levels of success in whatever you're trying to do? Whether that's your career, your business, if you're an entrepreneur, right? And so it's really morphed over the years.
You might also think that's probably true for me too, is that I more care about the people than just like, one of our marketing things is people who love people who just happen to do mortgage. And it's sort of true. Like, that's sort of who we are, right? Like, I just love my customers. I love them as people. And I want to just see them get to where they want to go, wherever that is. And then I just get to be this big person arbitrator of the big financial, biggest debt, basically, that they're going to take on, I guess.
Who is your, let's talk about this. Who is your ideal client? Number one. Number two, in your current book of business, have you noticed any commonalities of clients? Like, I'll give you an example. I actually know the reasoning behind it, but in my book of business, I actually work a lot with senior level executive single women, we actually do a lot of business with senior level executives, senior single women. Not to say that we don't do business with, you know, married couples and this, that, and the other, but what we found was that those single women are genuinely concerned about their finances. You know, they've worked hard, they've got whatever they've got, and they're concerned with running out of money. They don't have a spouse there to whatever, you know, supplement sure. income,
they retirement,
make sure
when they get to their so retirement, they're good.
That's exactly right. And they don't have this pride thing that men typically have of like, no, I'm good, I'm all set, you know, like I'm all good, you know, like when it comes to money. So they're more like, hey, I got a question, like I need the answers, right? And they'll go seek out guidance and get help. And so we just so happen to do a lot of business with them. So do you have in your book, do you have any commonalities with certain types of clients that you work with or would you like to work with?
So I tend to do a lot of highly educated consumers because they value education. And then also I'm really highly educated. Like I have a law degree, so I value education a lot. And I'm not, it doesn't necessarily mean that all education has to be, you know, traditional education, but like that happens to be the case. I do a lot of high net worth clients. We do a lot of veterans. My husband is 100% disabled veteran. And so we do a lot of veteran clients. There's a lot of, and especially jumbo veteran clients. So a lot of people in that space don't even know that that's an option. They don't know they can use their VA loan and basically not have to use a jumbo loan instead. It's a lot better fit for them. And so we do a lot of education surrounding that. Because of my experience in the legal space, I do a lot of divorces because a lot of attorneys do things wrong. So a lot of education surrounding attorneys. And so a lot of times I get to kind of be the help point on either helping somebody refinance, helping somebody buy a new house, like as they're coming out of a divorce, because I understand. I mean, and I myself have experienced a divorce. So there's like a commonality there of, hey, I've experienced this. I know what you're going through. Like I can ease that process for you.
You know, on that note, real quick, I just want to touch on that. If you deal a lot, see, this is the networking side of me, okay? Collaboration, okay? So that's actually a market that I've wanted to get into. And I've really just been super focused with the career transition market, but I know that there's another market over here when it comes to divorce. And I've done some dabbling in it, and I want to get more involved in it. But basically, on my side, it's when that divorce happens, there's typically something that's called a quadro, qualified domestic relations order, which is essentially taking their retirement assets and splitting them out, right? And so typically, this isn't always the case, but in a marriage, the man typically handles a lot of that. Okay.
Right. Well, especially if you live in like you and I are in the South and like, you know, that kind of Southern idea of like traditional gender roles holds true in a lot of cases.
Yeah. And, you know, like it's not always the case, but typically that's the way it is. And the woman has just been kind of like out of the picture a little bit. And then all of a sudden, okay, we're getting split out. And, you know, she wants to take control. She wants to hire her own, you know, advisor and all these different types of things. And so the qualified domestic relations order is the court order that determines how much, what's the percentage that gets split out to the dollar and right? So there's even a market, you know, there for me in divorce. And I hate saying it that way, but it's just the truth. These people need help.
Well, I was going to say, when that happens. But you and I are coming from a place of help that's very different than like, oh, hey, we're just trying to steal your business. Like, that's not what's happening here. Like, I'm really coming from a place of help. Like, divorce, there's so much transition happening. There's so many things happening. Much. And I jokingly say, when I deal with divorce people, it's congratulations and I'm sorry, because it truly is both. Like, no, it is. Like,
yeah. Touche.
Because
that's a hold up.
It's congratulations.
That's a mic drop.
Done. Yeah, exactly. There's your mic.
That's a mic drop.
I mean, it's congratulations because it's done. Like all the headache and the heartache and everything. But it's I'm sorry because it's a death of the dream of like the perfect life of like what you had built with that other person, and now it had to like unwind. So even if it wasn't great, even if it wasn't perfect, you obviously didn't go in thinking to yourself, man, you know what I want to do? I want to get divorced. That sounds like a great idea. Like nobody says that, right? Like that's not the thought when you're getting into a marriage. It's not how that goes.
100%. I love that. Congratulations, and I'm sorry.
And I think when I say that to people, every time I have ever said that to somebody going through divorce, they laugh. And they said, you're right. Yeah, it is.
It's true.
It's congratulations, and I'm sorry. And I said, it is. It's congratulations, and I'm sorry.
Okay, so I want to also point this out, this mic drop thing that I just did with you right now, because this is something that, trust me, there's multiple reasons why I do this. And so I want to explain the mic drop for you. It's something you could totally steal this if you want or incorporate in a different way. But this is what's called a pattern interrupt, okay? Pattern interrupt. There will come a time where you have a guest on your show, and if you are getting good guests on your show, they typically know how to talk, okay? And they will steal your show if you let them. And you need to, it needs to be back and forth. Like right now, me and you are having a back and forth, which is good. It needs to be
conversational.
Correct. They will steal your show if you let them. Okay. They will just, you'll ask a question and they'll just run.
I've been on some other podcasts that have been similar to that.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so this is called a pattern interrupt. So it's a positive way, right, of interrupting them, going, oh, mic drop. Oh, wow. That's awesome. Right. They feel like they just got a pat on the back. Okay. It interrupts them and it allows you to get back in the conversation.
Well, smart.
Okay. Right. It's also a way, let me pick that back up. It's also a way to look for your quotable moments.
Yeah, sure.
Which
you can now draw your editor's attention, like, hey, this might be something you want to pay attention to.
100%. And that's what I used to do in the old days when like my editor would literally look for these moments. However, now with technology, they literally have technology that pulls out
the
best moments and the quotable moments and stuff like that. So
I seriously wonder,
it's gotten a lot easier.
I seriously wonder what's going to happen by the time my daughter turns 18, my 2.5-year-old. I'm like, man, oh man, you know, like if we just think like if we could bring back like some of our great grandparents, they'd be so confused. They'd be so confused. Like somebody posted on Facebook the other day about Uber eating a margarita. And I wonder what my great grandparents would think about me Uber eating this margarita. And I thought to myself, yeah, they would be really confused on any of that. Like none of that would
make sense. They'd be like, it's expensive. That was a $25 margarita. That'd be like stupid.
I'm old school. I can't do it. I can't. I don't do it. I don't do DoorDash. I don't do any of that. I can't do it.
So I want you to, we're going to go through an exercise of just kind of, you know, like I know you were picking my brain online, right? Like trying to figure out how to get this thing off the ground. So here we are, we're off the ground, we're off running, but I know you got questions.
I do. I was pulling them up as we speak.
All right. Let's rock and roll. Let's do this.
Yeah. So I was going to say, hold on, let's see. How did you decide? Cause I know you first said studio, didn't you? How did you decide between remote and studio? And like, I know you made some shifts because you started in studio and then you went remote. Like, so how did you make that decision shift?
Great question. So in the very beginning, I was invited to a studio and the person that I had been following online, I saw was at a studio. Just loved it. I thought it was really cool. They were on Facebook Live. When I just started doing some research and found a studio literally right across the street from my office, okay, literally, and it was just too convenient. It was like, wow, this has got to be meant to be, right? And so we went in there, signed up with it. It was KVGI Radio, and it was like an online radio. We were with them for about 2.5 years, and then the pandemic happened. And unfortunately, here's something I want you to take note of. See, I've made a lot of mistakes. It's been a journey for me. One of my mistakes was if you are going to use a studio, typically these studios, what they're going to want to do is they're going to want to take control of the distribution. Okay? Don't let them do that. Don't let them do it. The reason for behind that is because they're getting, if they have 50 shows or 100 shows, and they take control of distribution of all 100 shows, well, they are collectively getting the viewership of 100 shows. So they're the ones going to get all the sponsorship dollars, right? Because does that make sense? So, and long story short, KVGI Radio was an amazing journey. We did it with them. But when they went out of business, they had control of all the content. I didn't have it. I ended up losing 2.5 years worth of content.
Oh my gosh. Okay. They did. So they went out of business and they still didn't let you have access to that content.
Yeah. I tried. And he's like, oh, I have it and this, that, and the other, and I'm going to mail it to you. Like, I'm going to put it on a drive. And I never saw any of that stuff. And I followed up multiple times, and I had to just eventually just come to the realization, like, you ain't never going to see that. He shut it all down and he doesn't have it. Like yeah, that was in my mind. Like, he doesn't have it. Like,
or he thinks he's going to get it. And maybe that's never going to happen.
It's crazy to me, but yeah, I think he had one master account and then probably just shut it down or whatever. Just called it quits, you know? So anyway, but yeah, to answer your question, there's pros and cons to that. And I want everybody to take note of this. Number one, the more you pay, the more you pay attention. Okay. The more you pay, the more you pay attention. So if you want consistency and you don't want to be one of those millions of podcasts that get out there and do, you know, 14 episodes and then flop. Okay. Put a little scratch behind it, okay? And
it'll force you to do it. It's like accountability.
Absolutely. 100%. We signed up a contract with them, and we were Wednesdays at 3:00, okay? So Wednesdays at 3:00, I'm showing up, okay? I was paying them, it wasn't a ton of money, $750 a month, okay, when I was over there.
It's a lot of money for a lot of people, you know what I mean? Especially when you don't really know if you're going to get much out of it, you know what I mean? Like, because when you start anything, you just know how it's gonna go. That's just the reality,
you know. And I think I was like a super optimistic that we were just gonna have this giant audience.
That's good.
Like, I don't know, I just was like, we're gonna do this and like boom, it's gonna blow up. I was like, my phone's gonna be blowing up, it's gonna be awesome. No, of course that didn't happen.
I was gonna say it took a while. I'm sure eventually, but yeah, it takes a while. Yeah. Anything worth doing takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, and so yeah, it just but yeah, I would say for consistency purposes, signing up to a studio, put some money behind it, putting out a high quality production, you know, thing is amazing.
Well, and they also have the equipment that you may or may not have, and not that like crazy high level equipment is like super important, but you definitely don't want to look like, you know, totally unprofessional.
Correct. Now I will say, things have come a long way. And since the pandemic, you know, there's been a lot more podcasts come out that are just like what we're doing right now. Okay. And people are actually really used to this remote. Okay. And it actually gives you access to a lot of people that you wouldn't necessarily.
That's why
have.
I wanted to do remote.
Like if you have, yeah, if you have it in person at a studio, which we still do that from time to time, it all depends now. It's kind of like a la carte. Like, who do I got? For instance, I'm working on getting Trent Shelton. If you don't know him, he's a massive, massive public speaker, one of the best public speakers and keynote speakers in the world. Working on Tony Robbins, you know, working on, like, I've got some things in the work, Brad Lee. Like, these types of folks that are big names, 1,000% I'm going to invest the money into a high quality studio, especially if they're going to be here. If they're going to come in to Dallas, like, I'm paying the money. And I'll even do Jeff Crilly, Real News PR in Dallas. Shout out to them. Those are the studios I use now. They even have a studio there where you can put together a live studio audience. Okay. So now you're like Oprah, okay? Like, you're like taking it up a notch.
Well, and for people like that, they're used to that kind of a feedback, right? Like, when they go and when they present, like, they're used to getting audience feedback because they've been on so many stages. Like, for some of us, that would be a little much because we don't, you know, we're like, oh crap, are they gonna laugh at us? Or, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, you get in your own head and you tell yourself stuff that's BS.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you gotta think about it too, okay? As a hook to get one of those bigger guests, to be able to tell them, hey, I'll even put together a live studio audience. Okay. Like, our studios have the capability of a live studio audience. And most podcasts don't do that. Most podcasts are going to be, even if it's an in-person studio, it's going to be the little small room with a couple of mics set up,
with one desk.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But it won't be a live studio audience. So as a hook to get, you know, bigger guests, it also is an advantage. But there's nothing saying that you can't just do it like this.
Sure.
Right?
For me, I think I want to utilize, like, I have a really big network and it's all over the place. And so I think this is an easier way for me to be able to utilize those individuals and really make sure that there's interesting, worthwhile conversation happening with people. Because my biggest thing is just adding value, right? I mean, I'm not doing this like you ask, like, why? Yes, I mean, of course, I hope that people utilize and see these kind of podcasts and see that myself and my team, like, we're the authority on what we do for a living, and you want to come utilize us. However, the biggest reason I'm doing it is because I genuinely care about people. I love people, and I want to be able to reach the widest amount of people and find the people who, you know, who are attracted to what I have to offer and what I say, you know what I mean, and help them wherever they are. Even if I can't do something for them loan-wise, doesn't matter.
Yeah, and if you're doing it remote, you know, but that's why I recommended Riverside. You know, Riverside is going to give you the highest quality audio video. It records the audio video tracks separately on each person's computer and then transfers them over. So it's going to give you the highest quality audio video for a remote interview, which is great. It can still be live streamed.
Yeah, I noticed that once I purchased it, like, that it does allow that. Because I know a lot of people, when they're doing live, do StreamYard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I connect mine to Restream, and Restream shotguns it out to all, you know, YouTube, Facebook, you know, Instagram, all the channels, right? LinkedIn, it gets it all over the place. And then I also do, I have a Rodecaster, and I have a Rodecaster Pro, and there's this little cable right here, and I'll plug this thing in and do... so it runs the audio into here, and I'll do Clubhouse or LinkedIn audio rooms. So literally I'm going live on all the social channels so they can see me, but there's these things called social audio rooms. I don't know if you're too familiar with those, but essentially imagine a Zoom call with, you know, hundreds of people on it, but no cameras. It's just all audio. Right. And so, and they're like live streams, right? Again, it's like a live stream with all these people in it. So they're hearing you live. So it's just another channel to plug into. So keep that on your radar. Here, let me see if I can show you real quick while we're here doing this. Clubhouse. Let's see, let me get this in front of the camera.
I literally know so little about podcasting. I mean, I listen to some of them. Oh, yeah, I see.
This is where I've gotten some of my largest podcast guest from.
Really?
Yep. Because they're in there, and you know, it's a great place to network, and collaboration is really, really high there. So a lot of other podcasters are in there. So great place to, again, to just stream it in. Like, I want to make sure that when I'm having a conversation with somebody, I'm going to capitalize on the live audience. And then I'm going to repurpose it, and I'm going to polish it up, edit it, put it out there for the actual podcast itself, for the evergreen. Okay. Because if you just, at first, here's one of the biggest mistakes I made. At first, I just did live streaming. Okay. And essentially what I was doing is I never edited it and put it on the podcast. I would do the live stream and then essentially let that episode die on the shelf. Like, no one's going to go back to your live stream and watch it later. And the other thing to do, if you are going to do live streaming, which I do recommend, is make sure that your comments, like your shout outs, are segmented in the front and the back. Okay. So let's say we started this episode and I'm going to give some shout outs, and I'm like, hey, let me shout out the audience. We got Bob and Susie and Tom. Good to see you. Put a one in the chat if you're excited about this episode. You know, like, get the engagement going, right? In the beginning and in the end, okay? You don't want to do it throughout the episode. I made that huge mistake. The reason is because when you're editing it and polishing it up for the evergreen, for the actual podcast, nobody cares. Nobody cares that you're shouting people out. They don't care. It's fluff, and it, you'll lose the audience. So if it's all throughout the episode, it makes editing a nightmare. So you're just going to cut the front and the back of the episode off. Sure. Okay.
And then polish whatever in the middle. Right.
Polish in the middle. Right.
That makes sense.
So that was just something that I've learned through experience, because I used to do, this was a strategy, and it was cool. It built the audience. But when I would do a mic drop, right, I'd give a mic drop. Then I would go to the audience, ask them a random question, and we would do a giveaway for whoever answered the question. But I was doing that throughout the episode. So for editing purposes, it created a nightmare. And totally took the conversation's rabbit hole. I mean, the conversations went totally
nuts. So your editor really hated you, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it wasn't cool, but it did. That strategy still worked for the live audience. It built the live audience up, right? Which is cool. But for the evergreen, it was a nightmare. So just make sure you're doing that stuff in the front and the back. And literally ignore the audience in the
middle. You still use Riverside. You just use it and stream it through. You were saying
Restream.
Okay. So you were just doing that like that, and that pushed out to the different places.
Absolutely. And I used to use Restream for the production. But Restream is a little clunky like StreamYard is.
Right. Yeah, I've used StreamYard for some other things, but yeah, I haven't loved it, because a lot of people in the mortgage space use it, not just for podcasting, but some other things too. So I'm familiar with it, but I haven't necessarily always loved all of its aspects for sure.
Yeah, I wish there was one tool to rule them all, and I'm sure it will come very soon. Like Riverside has been getting better and better and better and better. Like they're now, it gives you clips, automatic clips. Like the AI just pulls out the hot moments, show notes. Like, do you realize I used to have a copywriter that I paid hundreds of dollars to write show notes and do all this stuff? Like, this tool for $25 a month does that. Like, it saves me money, you know what I mean? So Riverside's a phenomenal tool. It does a lot of bang for the buck.
Yeah, that was one of the things you told me to go ahead and purchase. That was one of the very first things I did. So I did have a little bit of inside information prior to this conversation, because you and I had some conversations or whatever. I think you touched on a bunch of mistakes, but what do you think is the number one biggest mistake you made?
The biggest mistake I made, well, it kind of goes back to being naive to the distribution and not really understanding what was going on behind the scenes. I was so focused on live stream video and creating a live stream audience. So focused on that. And that had its advantages. It really did. However, I was not paying attention to, after you record, what do you do next? And again, because of that, we lost 2.5 years worth of content, because I wasn't paying attention to what.
Right, because you didn't go get it and then take it and do show notes and like read like all that stuff.
Yeah. I did nothing, you know. And honestly, I was a little bit arrogant in this fact, because, or just didn't really understand, but I thought we were better than a podcast. See, back in the day, I've been podcasting for 6 years, and back in the day, a podcast was an audio only experience. Today, and so we were video. We were like a talk show. I'm like, no, we're better than a podcast, man. We're like a talk show. What are you talking about? Like, we're like Oprah. What do you do? Like, we're better than a podcast. No, how stupid. We were a podcast. We were a video podcast, just ahead of its time.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, you were doing now, something that basically became mainstream. And when did it become mainstream to actually show the physical interaction? Wasn't it around COVID-ish? Because we couldn't be physically together. So we kind of were like, oh, let's watch the video of people together since we can't physically be with them.
1000%. Yeah. Like, prior to COVID, if you had a video podcast, you stood out like, oh yeah, you were, like I said, we were better than a podcast. We were a video podcast. Like, we were boom, right? Now it's like, anybody with a Zoom account can do this. Like,
well, I know. In fact, when because like there's another podcast that's like kind of local that I do. I'm like a co-host with it, and it's so funny because the way that we explain it to people when we ask them to be guests, because we're trying to get local entrepreneurs and things like that, right? We're trying to build the community. Is the funny part is we explain to them it's like being on a Zoom. That's literally what we tell them. Because it is. It's just like, hey, like here we are and we're doing a Zoom meeting or whatever. It's pretty much what it is.
Yeah. If you can do a Zoom, if you've ever had a Zoom call, you can do a podcast. Not that hard. Seriously. That's why, like, for me, I'm like, let's just get started. Like, we don't need to overthink this thing. Let's just go.
I think for me, that was the other thing I was going to ask you is like, how in the world did you decide what to call it? Because so I'm an English creative writing major. Like, that's what I got my degree in. So I like to be really long-winded and I don't do good with the brevity thing. Like, my husband, he probably could come up with a great name because he's super good at the marketing piece. Like, that's something he's good at. I'm not good at that. So I don't know. I don't know what to call it.
Well, I've been told once that I should actually change the name of my podcast because it's probably hurting my reach. And let me explain why that is. So they told me, clear, not clever. Clear, not clever. Right. So
you don't focus as much on what sounds good, but focus on like what actually makes sense and lands with the person you're trying to reach.
Yeah. What are they getting when they listen to your podcast? So I'll give you an example. So the Who You Know Show. Okay. Everybody's heard that saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Like we get that. Okay, cool. So, Who You Know. But what's that about? What's the show about? It still doesn't tell you what it's about. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Okay, so it's about relationships. What else? Like, is that it? Is that all it's about? It's about relationships? No. Like, so it leaves you kind of like, I don't know. Okay. So I'll give you another example. There was a guy who did a podcast, and it was NFTs for Dummies. Okay. Now, if you know what an NFT is, it's kind of a complicated, like, again, you got to break it down for people so they can understand even what this is. It's on the blockchain. It's what is this? You know what I mean? It's a complicated kind of a subject for people to really get their head wrapped around. So they're taking a complex subject and breaking it down, making it easy. NFTs for Dummies. You know exactly what you're getting when you listen to that podcast.
That's really good advice. Cause for me, I'm always like, oh, I need to figure out a way to stand out and make people be like, oh, you know, like, I mean, because PBJ Mortgage, it's so funny how many comments people like the sandwich. And I'm like, yeah, because the tag is making mortgage simple as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But if I don't explain that to you, you're like, sandwich mortgage company? Wait, what?
Yeah, you shouldn't need to explain it. The title should explain itself, right? That's what you should do. And again, the reason why I'm an expert is because of all the mistakes that I've made along the way. Now, I've been told I should change the name of the podcast, but I've been doing it for 6 years, and I'm like, I'm kind of attached to it. I'm like, nah, I'm not gonna change it.
Well, you also have a pretty good size audience at this point, so
yeah. Yeah, I'm like, well, one of the things too is, again, I was clever. I was being clever. So Who Ya Know. It's Y-A, ya. Like, we're in Texas. Who Ya Know. So I can only imagine people are searching it, typing in Who You Know, right? And like, they're missing things and it's not finding it or whatever. And so for SEO purposes, I've thought maybe just changing it to Who You Know, right, might help increase the audience, but I'm already in it.
Well, 6 years in, so I'm like, whatever. People sort of know what you're talking about, so if they're searching for a specific type of podcast, I'm sure you are popping up. Whereas if you're brand new, you're not going to be on anyone's radar. You're not going to be popping up. You're not going to do any of those things. So,
well, and that's the thing too, is that podcasting is an industry that's still very early. It's still growing. So anybody listening right now, you got a dream, you've been thinking about maybe doing something like this, get in. This is going to help you in so many ways. Like, could help you to just become a thought leader, an industry leader. You know, even if you're just trying to change careers, I tell job seekers they need to do it. If I was a job seeker, I'd open up a Riverside account and start talking about what I do. Start having conversations with people that work at the companies I want to work for and just start doing my informational interviews, which I have to do anyways. I'm going to do an informational interview, but I'm just going to do it on a podcast. Why not? And then I'm going to chop it up and promote it.
What people forget, and I forget this too, is you think you don't know that much, but then when you start talking to people and they are like, wait, what's that? Wait, what's that? And when they start asking questions, you're like, wow, I have a lot more knowledge in my head than I thought I did. Like, you know what I mean? Naturally, whether you're doing it intentionally or unintentionally, you're picking things up, especially if you're an expert in your space. You're picking up tons and tons of information. And so you feel like, oh, maybe I don't know that much. Like I'm really bad about that. Like I get in my own head and I say, do I really know that much? And then I start talking to people. Like I was talking to one of my agents yesterday and she was asking me about something. And as I was explaining things to her, she's like, wow, I didn't know any of those things. And I thought to myself, wow, she didn't know that? Like, that's crazy. But
well, and it's because I'll give you an example for me. Compared to other podcasters, okay, yeah, I know it and they know it. And it's like second nature. We've been doing this, blah, 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 right? Cool. But is everybody a podcaster? No, right? So you have to go into there thinking about all the people that don't do what you do. And there's millions and billions of them. Okay, not everybody does mortgage. I don't do mortgage. You do mortgage. Okay, so that there's gonna be some things that are just super basic to you that you're gonna say that I'm gonna be like, oh, I didn't know that. That's crazy. Wow. Because I don't do it every day like you do.
Well, in our space, you know we change all the time. Like, it's a big joke. It's like, you know, I mean, you're in the financial space too. I feel like things just change constantly, the regulations, the rules, all the things. Like, they're just constantly changing.
Yeah.
So like, whether you wanted to or not in our space, you got to learn. Like, you got to always be on your toes and keep learning, because if you don't, you're screwed.
Man, I tell you what, these jokers out here, one of these days I'm going to get the Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort, on my show. Okay. One of these days so I can mess with him. I want to tell him how much he's screwed up our industry. People like him and you know, Bernie Madoff and all of that stuff. I'm like, it's these idiots that went out there and screwed everybody over that made my life so hard. It made all the regulation and all the red tape and made it so difficult. I just want to be like, smack him, but then also be like, all right, come on the show. Let's talk about it. Because I want to hear your stories.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, it's so frustrating because honestly, that's where, as I've gotten older in my career, I get super frustrated. And I don't blame, like, I'm not upset at the customer, but it's so frustrating because you have to feel like you have to resell yourself. Like, hey, I'm not a shyster. I'm not trying to hose you. You know what I mean? And the funny part is a lot of times I'm actually trying to protect you from yourself. Like, I had a conversation earlier in the week with a guy who he was kind of going to financially strap himself. And he'd already talked to another lender and he was coming to us as sort of a second opinion. And I asked him, I said, look, I'm going to give you all your choices, but I need you to think really long and hard about if this is the best decision for you. Like, I can't make that call. But based on what you're telling me, you're saying this is going to strap you. Are you cool with that? Like, are you going to be okay with that? You know what I mean? And I'm sorry, but most people in my space don't do that. They're like, oh, great. You want to do a deal? Wonderful. Like, let's go. Right? Like, they're not going to try to talk you out of it. But we will if it's not going to behoove you. Like, if it's not going to make sense for you, I'm going to say, I'll do it. Just think it all the way through. Like, make sure you're good.
Yeah. And you know what? The ones that if they don't go the direction that you want them to go, or not that you don't want them to go in that direction, but what I mean by, like, let's say the deal just doesn't make sense. Okay. And you're straightforward and you're honest and you tell them, hey, this doesn't really make sense. Okay. You're being a fiduciary. Okay. And you're telling them like, yo, this doesn't make sense. You know, how can you leverage those experiences? Get a video testimonial from those people, you know, basically how they're saying that you listen, they didn't try to push me. They told me exactly the pitfalls. They showed me how this would not work and wouldn't be towards my best interest. Like, and those are great, trust building testimonials because people are like, oh, wow, you're not just trying to get me in no matter what. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, our space is just very like, that's sort of how it is. It feels like used car salesman-y. That's like how people think. And so it's just, that's what's really hard, is just building that factor. It's why I put out so much education online, is because I have an entirely separate business called House U, and it literally is sort of just setting people up to understand how to not get hosed. Like when you're buying a house, like these are the big rocks of what you need to know. And like, you don't need to use me, like use whoever you want, but like make sure that these are really roughly what's happening. Because if they're not, then something should be like going off like a bell inside your head. Like, hey, maybe this is not above board. You know what I mean? Because
yeah, no, that's so good. That's so good. Telling people the pitfalls,
right? I mean, because
in educating them, people just what to expect.
They don't know, and so they're like, "Oh, well, my brother's best friend's sister's uncle's aunt said they're a real estate agent, and we should use them." And it's like, okay, how long have they been doing it? Do they know anything about? And it's not like necessary length of time, right? But like, what have they tried to do professionally? Like, have you done any research about the person, or did you just trust that the largest financial transaction of your life, you're just going to pull somebody out of a hat and say, yeah, these people seem good. Uncle. It's fine.
Yeah. We see that a lot in what I do too in financial services. They're like, yeah, my uncle's got my stuff. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And you're like, how's your uncle doing with that? Like, is it growing?
Cool. Yeah. Well, they just turn a blind eye to that too. Most of the time they'll turn a blind eye to it. They trust and it's like, it's cool. And then they don't want to also get in there and tell their uncle, like, you know, hey, I'm taking it somewhere else. So anyway, it's I tell people, like, you know, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. Okay. And just because they're your uncle doesn't mean it's going to make dollars. Okay. Just saying. Anyway, but okay. So what other podcast related questions do you have?
Okay, so hold on, let's see what else I wrote down for myself. So I told you that I really am focused on educating people. So how do you make sure that what you're saying actually lands with your ideal audience, right? Like that you're trying, like the people that you're trying to reach out to? Because yes, ultimately I would love to help everybody, but specifically I want to help people who have a vested interest in their financial future. Like they want to be able to get enough high level information to then make good decisions and pick good professionals.
So great question. So how are you making sure that it's resonating? It's speak it over and over and over and over and over. So, there's a formula for this. Hold on. I'm going to remember it. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds. Nope, that's not it. Hold on. It's frequency plus proximity equals affinity. Okay. So I want you to think about McDonald's. Okay. Frequency. You're going to see those commercials. Boom, 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 boom. Da, 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 da. Like, I know the jingle. It just hits me. Like, how do I know that jingle? Frequency plus proximity. Well, what does that mean? Every corner you go on, golden arches, right? Equals affinity, likability. Listen, those French fries, man. You know what I mean? They're good. They have great coffee and they have great breakfast. Other than that, the rest of it's garbage. But man, I tell you what, if you're hungry and you're just like, you know, it's like you're in a pinch. Like you
oh,
see
for sure.
Golden arches.
When my daughter was in NICU and it was late or whatever, and you're thinking like, what's easy and fast and I know I can get it, is right there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know I can get it, whatever.
Frequency. Okay. This is why consistency is so important, right? Frequency. How often are you doing this? How often are you speaking that message? So speak it, right? Plus proximity, how close are you? That's why it's so important to be omnipresent. You want to be on all social channels at all times, right? Because you know, they may see you here and then they see you here on this channel and this channel and YouTube and Facebook and that. Wow, dang, she's everywhere. It creates this this like illusion that you're just like in all places at all times, right? And then that over time creates affinity and likability, and they're going to start showing up.
Well, and I mean, I think the beautiful part about social media in general, podcasting, all of it, is that it's a way easier to attract your people, right? Because like I say all the time, and it's true, I'm not everyone's cup of tea, and that's okay. Like it doesn't bother me that I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I want to be with the people who find me valuable, who say, okay, you know, her team, you know, they're going to make sure they take care of me. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't believe that, then like, that's okay. Maybe I'm not your person. It's not like there's not a loan officer. You can't hit one every 5 seconds on the street corner. I promise. Wherever.
Well, and to your point, for the audience listening right now, you need to be you. Okay. Be you, be authentic, be genuine. Like, seriously, like, because you're going to attract your tribe. Okay. You're going to attract your tribe, and the people that don't like you, you don't want them in your universe anyways. They're not the people that they don't like what you say or how you say it or whatever. Don't try to please everyone. You please it by speaking to everyone. You speak to no one. Okay. Have a stance, have a position. And if you believe it, speak it. Okay. If you don't believe it, don't just be out here trying to appease everyone, trying to be so PC about everything. Okay. It's like, you know, a matter of fact, a lot of the biggest podcasts out there. Now, I'm not saying that you need to do this, but think about it for a second. They have a stance, right? They have a stance, except for maybe with the exception of the all-time GOAT, which is Joe Rogan. I feel like he's just so curious about everything. He's not necessarily like, I want to lean this way or lean that way. He'll interview different perspectives, and he's curious about it all, and he's developing his own genuine thoughts about it, which I love that about him, right? He's genuinely curious. He's not like polarizing in any which kind of way. But the ones that are, they also get clickbait, you know, they grow super fast, okay? So just don't be afraid to be you and have a view and opinion. Like, have a view and opinion that you're okay with speaking, and if people don't necessarily agree with your views and opinions, they will go away. Or they'll troll you, and if they troll you, that actually fuels your growth, because those comments, those negative comments, you're going to get back and forth discussions going in the comments, which that the algorithms all love that. Boom. You're going to grow super fast if you do that too. Now, I'm not saying you get into some crazy topics, but anyway.
Well, no, I say that all the time. I mean, I used to be such a pleaser, and then somewhere along the way last year, I turned 40 and I just was like, yeah, if you don't like me, well, it is what it is. I mean, this is who I am. I can be weird and quirky, and I don't, you know, I randomly interrupt people, not on purpose. And I do things that some people don't like, but it is what it is. Like, I'm very loud, and I get this from my family all the time. My dad's like, oh, my parents are always like doing this, like, shh, like, be quiet. I'm like, this is my voice. Like, I'm naturally just really loud. Sorry. That's why I have the microphone sitting a little bit away from me. Your microphone's like right in your face. Mine's like a foot away from my face.
They're trying to dim your light. They're trying to dim your light. They're saying, shh.
I know, right?
It's like, no, I was born to stand out. Why do you want to fit in? I was born to stand out. You know what I mean? Some of us just are. Some of us are just different. We're born, like, there are leaders and there are followers. Okay. There are creators and there are consumers. Okay. Are you a creator or a consumer? Right. And right now you're stepping in, like, you're stepping into the creator platform. Like, that's amazing. You know what I mean? I love that. Like, so the majority of people out there, they're followers, they're consumers. And, you know, the movers and shakers out there were the ones creating, you know, creating for the marketplace. So,
well, when you find something that you're passionate about, and like for me specifically in my space, I get very upset about the amount of misinformation and the fact that people don't care about the people that they're serving. It's all about the dollars. And I get it. I mean, you can make a fair bit of money in my space. So yeah, of course, that sounds great. But you still have to care about the person behind the loan you're putting in their hands, right? Like, you still have to care about that. And the fact that a lot of these people, they don't get the information they need to truly make a good decision, it pisses me off. So if you really want to know the real, true, like, passion behind why I do what I do, there it is. Like, I just get angry about people not getting the best information to be able to make the best call. So I want you to have the best information to make whatever call that is. And it can be a horrible call. It can be a call I don't agree with. But as long as you made it and you made it eyes wide open, that's fine. I told my girls that all the time. I have 3 adult stepdaughters. I tell them all the time, wherever you get there intentionally. I don't really care where you land. Like, you want to be a trash man. That's amazing. Like, you then you be the best person you can be, and you get there intentionally, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with that job. That job is a great paying job. It's very good. It's very consistent. So wonderful. If that's what you want to be, then wonderful. But be the best version of that you can absolutely be.
I like that. No matter what space you're in life, you want to try to do it all, go all in, right? Go all in. There was actually a news story I saw. It was a guy that was working at McDonald's, and he was taking people's orders, and he was singing the order back to them. You know, when they repeat the order, and he would like sing it, and then he was a really good singer. And he was just making people's day. I mean, he was making people smile and laugh and just making people's day. So it's like, he didn't have to do that. That was not like a requirement of the job description. Okay. Most of the time when you go through McDonald's, they're like, can I get your order? Like rude to you. And you're
and
like,
they get it wrong half the time. That's what I started doing on the app.
Yeah.
You get it wrong.
They're like, pull forward. Second one, no. Like, they hate their life, and it's like, well, then get a different job, okay? Don't talk to me like that. Like, smile. Like, you know what I mean? Anyway, but yeah, he was putting smiles on people's face, and so he got recognized by the news and got put up on some platforms and all this kind of stuff just because he was doing the best he could. So I love that. That's a great analogy, okay? Something else that I would recommend for you to do is to go look at other podcasts in your space. Okay, so who else are doing mortgage-related type shows? And matter of fact, it's so interesting. The guy that I originally started following, I'll try to connect you because I think he's still here. And I don't know if he still does it or not. I think it's Bob Johnson, and he had the Bob Mortgage Show. This literally was the guy that I started following prior to ever doing podcasts. And I just was like, man, this guy's doing, like, he's everywhere. I can't get away from him. He's like all over the place. You know, he was doing the Gary V model, you know, taking that long form, chopping it up, doing all this. He was doing it way before it seemed like anybody was doing it.
That's good. And in our space, it doesn't happen a lot. So that's really, really good. Or you find a lot of people who talk at people in our space because they can't like pull down to that level to explain right.
He was great. His content's great. Take a look at him for sure. And he's here locally too. So like connect with him, Bob Johnson. I'll make sure I connect you with him. But yeah, look at people in your space. What are they doing? How are they doing it as far as the media goes? How are they doing a podcast? What's the number one podcast in your space? And go listen to some episodes and then go invite them. Like go invite that host on your show. And pick their brain, just like you're doing me. Pick their brain. Say, hey, you know, this is what we're doing. Tell me your journey. Tell me your story. It looks like you have the number one podcast in mortgage. That's amazing. How did you do that? What was the journey like? What were your mistakes? What would you do differently? All those things, the same thing you're doing with me right now. Do that with those people in that space. And then guess what? They're going to then invite you onto their podcast, right? Or during your intake form. So I always recommend people have like a Calendly account that they can go, an online calendar that they can go fill out their bio, their name, their information, maybe a few questions, anything that they want to promote, highlight, sponsor, anything that's important to them that they want to highlight. But I also ask the question, you know, do you have a podcast you'd be interested in doing a collaboration on or a podcast swap? Right. So that you're interviewing them and putting forth your time and energy and resources to edit it and do all the stuff that it goes in the back end. They get it. They understand. They're going to say, yeah, they're click the yes button. If they don't click the yes button and they have a podcast, then that's kind of rude. That's them saying they're selfish. They want to come on yours, but they're not willing to have you on. Right. It's kind of selfish. Right. It's a little bit selfish. And there are some creators like that. So, but it'll give you an idea. Right. So that's good. Invite those that are top in your industry and start doing collaborations with them.
That makes sense. Well, I think this is really good information. Thank you for sharing and being on episode one of the podcast that is yet to be named.
Well, let's. Thanks for listening to the Who You Know Show podcast. My name is Trevor Houston, and if you've enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing wherever you listen and leave us a positive review to help us keep the mics on in the studio. Until next week, that's the show. It's all about who you know.